Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. Chris Slappendal, a veteran Dutch tiger protector and environmentalist who some of you may remember taking part on this programme a number of times, speaking his mind for the protection and the livelihood of tigers. He's joining us today on this programme again, and he recently wrote in the Times of India that illegal trade in tiger products has reached $20 billion annually, and that 70 to 80% of demand for products created illegally from the bodies of tigers, such as aphrodisiacs and tiger bone wine, which sells for over $1,500 a bottle, is from China. But China is not the only country guilty of mistreating tigers. The USA invites ordinary people to hold endangered species in their backyards. These so-called homebred tigers are a stick that China can use against the US when it gets around to threatening China with trade sanctions because of their tiger farming. Also joining the programme today is another tiger expert, Dr. Ulus Karanth, Director for Science Asia Wildlife Conservation Society. Welcome both of you to the programme today.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's jump straight in and talk about China first of all. China is a member of CITES, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, and it agreed to stop tiger farming in 2003 and 2007. Now, why and how is China still flouting the CITES regulations, and why is it still able to get away with it?
The reason why China is fooling CITES is probably because, can't tell for sure, but it's probably because of money.
Yeah.
Tiger farming is interesting in China because of mostly tiger bone wine, which is doing $1,500 per bottle. And the Chinese farms now have like 10,000 tigers on their farms.
Mm-hmm.
But yearly, tigers die, and they use the dead tigers to produce the tiger wine. They put the dead tigers in a big bottle, a really big bottle, with rice wine, and then you have the tiger wine. And that's a lot of money, really a lot of money.
Yeah.
So if 1,000 tigers per year die, and one tiger is being sold in total for like $400,000, well, you can count what the turnover will be.
Did you say $400,000 per tiger?
Per tiger, yes. And even going up to 500,000.
10,000 tigers on each farm or 10,000 tigers on farms in China throughout?
In total.
In total.
In total,
right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically it's money.
Basically this means a lot of money, and people from CITES have tried to convince China to stop with the tiger farming a couple of times, but they won't do it. Even with the threat of sanctions from the U.S., but still they don't do it. So there must be a really important reason why China is doing this. And for me, it's money.
Mm.
It's only money.
Okay. Ulus, do you have anything to say about this particular issue?
It is very tragic, and it is rooted so strongly, locally, culturally. And I think one of the things should be to actually try to change consumer behavior, maybe shaming the consumers into not liking or not promoting this wine. I don't know. But I don't know enough about Chinese society to, you know, say a lot more.
Yeah. Okay, so we're in a situation where China itself has only a few hundred or less, or fewer wild tigers.
Only 50, John.
50, in fact. Okay, we're down to 50. That's less than 100. And why do Chinese, because I've lived in China, Chinese aren't, you know, mad people. I mean, Chinese do respect nature. Chinese like tigers. Is it all money? Has China become such a materialistic society? What's going on?
Well, China has developed in the last decade a lot. There are now 4 million millionaires in China, and the tiger in China is a really cultural animal. You get born with the tiger and you die with the tiger. Can tell a lot about that. It's a really important animal in the culture of China,
mm-hmm.
and especially the aspect of faith, like the elements that the Chinese really respect, are so important that the tiger can add to the aspect of faith in the Chinese society. So if you get more money, you want to associate yourself with tigers. The situation of tiger is the result of the development of the Chinese society.
Okay. If I get you right, what you're saying is that an aspect of Chinese culture is to, in a way, worship and value tigers. So bits of tigers, tiger bone wine, medicines from tigers' bodies, these are symbols of status, am I right? Power, even?
Yeah, that's true.
Is that the same throughout Southeast Asia, Ulas? Sorry, not Southeast Asia. Is that the same throughout Asia, Ulas, or just in China?
See, I think there are different cultures in South Asia, that is India, Nepal. It's a different culture. It's a different medicine system. And the one in Southeast Asia and China is different, where by eating or consuming an animal, you are supposed to absorb its traits. So this is true, the reason why tigers are consumed, other animals are consumed, rhinos, pangolins, whatever.
Yeah.
The South Asian medicine system is, traditional medicine system is more strongly rooted in plants rather than animals, and the idea that you absorb the power of the animal by eating it doesn't exist. So it's a fundamentally different system in South Asia. But I would like to bring in a point here related to wild tigers, not captive tigers in China. I agree that it's a horrible business to farm and eat tigers.
Mm-hmm.
But we must remember that the tiger has lost 93% of its range in the last 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this wild tigers losing their range is driven much more by things like local people killing the tiger's prey. Even today, there is 300,000 square kilometers of tiger habitat in India, nearly 1 million square kilometers of tiger habitat across the world. Most of it is empty of tigers because people have killed off the tiger's prey. And this big collapse of tiger numbers and range actually happened well before 1990s, when China became rich and started consuming tigers on this scale. So addressing the Chinese consumption is important, but it is far more important to arrest the depletion of the tiger's prey by local people across the entire range of the tiger. This is a bigger threat to tigers.
You've touched on a very important, almost philosophical point. Is it better to breed tigers in captivity to protect their numbers, or is it better to try to do something to change local people's attitudes towards tigers? Let's talk about that in more depth after a short break.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World. Today we're talking about the continuing and growing trade in China products and the demise of tigers in general. I'm joined by Chris Lappendahl, a veteran Dutch tiger protector and environmentalist, and by Dr. Ulus Karanth, Director for Science Asia Wildlife Conservation Society. Now, we were just talking about this whole issue of should we or should we not allow tiger farming to happen, knowing what happens in China, knowing that, in fact, what happens when the tigers get to a certain age, they sort of disappear. You know, the children who come with their Chinese families to see them, oh, mummy and daddy, that tiger isn't there anymore because that tiger's been taken out of the back door and shot and put in a deep freeze so the parts can be used sometime in the future. Philosophically speaking, is it better to farm to protect tiger numbers, knowing that's going to go on, or is it better to change people's attitudes? I know what you've got something to say, Chris, on this one.
If you ask me for a choice, I think it's better to change the attitudes of people.
But even though we know that there's only 50 tigers left in the wild, in the whole of China,
yeah,
and Ulus has just said before the break that they've lost, even though they've got millions of square kilometres worldwide, and there's hardly any left because local people poach them.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, if you go for that option, Chris, you're talking about an annihilation.
John, I think I said something else. I said the reason why the tigers are extinct is people have hunted out the deer, pigs, and the wild prey of the tigers, not necessarily because they killed off the tiger. So hunting of the wild prey, which is not related to medicine, which is done by local people across the world, is a bigger threat to tigers than even tiger poaching. Tiger poaching is bad, but hunting of prey is worse. This is the point I was trying to bring.
Thank you very much. I didn't understand when you said the word range. I thought you meant as in territory, but what you meant was the prey.
Yeah, the loss of territory is driven by loss of prey.
Okay.
There is forest, but there's nothing inside it for the tiger to eat, and that is the big problem. They stop breeding and the populations collapse.
I want to add something, like there's a range of problems why tigers have difficulties of surviving. In India, it's the lack of prey and the lack of habitat. Mm-hmm. In Russia, it's absolutely the Chinese middleman that wants to have tigers from the wild to have it for the Chinese medicine. But in Sumatra, it's because of the palm oil. In Malaysia, it's because of the palm oil.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of problems concerned with the tiger situation, and there is not one solution for all those problems.
Mm-hmm. I have a slight disagreement with Chris on this, because the problem of overhunting of prey is an additional problem. These are all local problems, what he pointed out, but hunting of prey is a common problem. I have studied tigers across Asia. Overhunting of the prey is the biggest problem in Indonesia, it's the biggest problem in Malaysia, it's the biggest problem in Thailand, and Russia unfortunately has legal hunting of prey going on a massive scale. This is a fundamental problem across the tiger range.
Yeah.
Today, tigers are not there in Cambodia, Laos, because of hunting of prey.
Okay, we've only got a minute or two left, and I just want to bring in this American angle. So I'm going to stop you both, and I'm going to say, yes, but it's not a problem in the United States of America, where there's lots and lots of food, but people are allowed to keep these so-called endangered species as pets in their backyards. So we've got anacondas, you know, and we've got tigers and alligators and stuff like that. I mean, what is your feeling about the situation in America where you've got, apparently there's about 10,000 tigers being kept by people as pets, for God's sake?
Well, the crazy thing in the U.S. is that it's legal. People can actually have cats as pets, like wild cats as pets.
Yeah.
And that's really crazy.
It's crazy.
We're talking about an endangered animal.
Why is it dangerous in two words? Because surely, at least they're being fed properly.
There's a lot of politics behind it, but for me it's dangerous because it gives a wrong signal to the world. It's just crazy that you have only 3,500 tigers in the wild and more than 7,000 tigers in captivity in the U.S.
Yeah.
I completely agree with Chris that our efforts should be to recover nature, recover wild tigers, and still there is enough forest to have 20,000 or more tigers, and we should focus on that rather than keeping them in the backyard and feeling good about it.
Yeah.
And I don't think breeding them in captivity is going to help conservation of wild tigers. Tiger farming is a bad idea because farming of any other endangered species has also not saved it, whether it's the wild boar of buffalo or the wild chicken. This business that by rearing them in captivity we'll save wild populations is totally unfounded.
So I think we all agree, the three of us, that keeping tigers in farms, whatever, breeding them in artificial, unreal, unnatural environment is wrong. Let's go back to nature. Let's respect these beautiful creatures for what they are. Thank you very, very much indeed for joining the program today, Chris Lappendel and Dr. Ulus Karanth. And thank you very much, listeners, for being with us today. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.
Brave New World.